Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for the Exposed Vet Radio Show. The Exposed Vet Radio Show, we discuss issues affecting today's veteran. Now, here's your host, John M. Ray.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the Exposed Vet Radio Show. Sorry we're a little late. Technical difficulties getting started up here. I don't know if Ray's made it in or not yet, but we got a full house already.
I'm here, John.
Well, I found you.
I had to go to my phone instead of
Plan B.
Yeah.
That's all right. Well, I picked it up. That's why I went ahead and switched over to the host line real quick. But, folks, we got a show today. We got the A-team. How do you say that? We got Mr. Alex Graham, a.k.a. Asnod. I know this man. We got also got the one and only Mr. Robin Hood.
Can y'all hear me?
On here? Yes, we can.
Can y'all hear me?
Yes, you can. Sound like $1 million.
Awesome. All green and wrinkled.
Woo, yeah. Well, laundered. A laundered million.
All right.
But not everybody's together. We're going to do a show and discuss some AMA stuff and some other stuff. But recent developments have happened in the last couple of days, I think, that's going to deserve our undivided attention for the majority of this show. And it has to do a whole lot with Mr. Baudet and his court case win at the Federal Circuit over the Caregiver Act. And everybody's excited to hear this because something to me like somebody got a bohemian beating on this one. We all love bohemian beatings, don't we, guys?
Huh.
We'll let Alex start it off and give his two cents on it. Alex, how you doing, bud?
I'm doing real good. Ready to head off to D.C. here next week and do the NOVA conference. And I think Robin's going to be there, too.
I'll be there.
Oh, Lord, yeah.
I'm still trying to put together Wednesday night for dinner.
Well, my wife and I will be there.
Send me a note and I'll send bail money.
All right. Well, I'll be in the hotel. I don't think my flight gets in from Seattle until about 4:15, something like that, 4:30, and then it's a short pop over from Reagan over there to to the hotel. I've already test drove it back in January. I went back for a hearing, so it's 15 minutes from Reagan. It's an hour and a half from BWI or Dulles.
Mm-hmm. I have no idea what airport I'm flying. That's a handy piece of information.
Yeah, if you can get into, there's only one flight that comes here from Seattle straight through to Reagan, and it must be for the congressmen and the senators, and it's straight through nonstop on Alaskan, but no movies, just real, cattle drive car, even in first class.
The bare bones package, Alex.
Yeah, it is bare bones. I tell you, we had to rough it up there in first class.
No, but I don't know, guys. Alex, what's your take on this caregiver fiasco?
Well, I'm just cruising back through here, and I figured Ray wouldn't give me any shit. I was looking for his file in VBMS. I was going to read a little piece of what that judge wrote on his remand back to the regional level, and it was a scathing, "You idiots, don't you even know how to write a decision? How come you didn't include 5104 and 3.103F1-7 and explain how he needs to fix his problem? How what he needs to win to get into the higher level of PCAF-C. The guy, whoever it was in the VHA, the people that are in charge of writing that stuff, they're getting everything kited back on a remand back from the board as a duty to assist error. It's like a Mobius loop. It never ends. They do it wrong. The guy appeals it. They're letting him appeal it until today or 2 days ago when this happened. Now it's going to be a gully washer. It's a class action suit. That means everybody that got a PCAF denial is in part of this class action group. Everybody's a member. Except me. Ray is. Whether you knew it or
really?
Not.
Because I'm a caregiver. Although they didn't, they were, I got, they allowed me to get, you know, some health care, you know, particularly counseling, because my intergalactic law firm doesn't have, you know, depression or anxiety mental health care treatment. So I actually have to go to the VA through the caregiver program to get any, you know, counseling. But I can do that because I'm a caregiver. But what they won't do is they said, we're not going to give you any money, though. You know, and I'm like, all right, yeah, whatever. It's sort of a case of the cobbler's children have no shoes. I just said, you know what, I'm busy helping other people. I am not that worried about, you know, the caregiver stipend, you know, probably at the lowest level was all that I was really hoping for. So that's good news. Since I started talking here, I guess I'll just give my take on Beaudet. Is for the people listening at home. What had happened was that these were considered to be health care decisions that the hospital side was taking a look at. And VA decisions are supposed to be appealable to the Board of Veterans Appeals. It's actually done one or two caregiver appeals, neither one of which I've gotten a decision back on yet, but they've done the Board of Veterans Appeals hearings regarding the caregiver status for people. And in both cases, the judge said, you know, this is like one of the first one of these I've done, and I'm not entirely sure, you know, what we're doing, but we'll do the best we can for this veteran and his caregiver. To make a long story short, in the Beaudet case, apparently the VA was saying, well, all of these decisions are all completely health care related, and there's no, you know, law, BVA oversight of this, you know, at all. And the, you know, federal circuit, you know, I think the BVA judge probably disagreed, and it was appealed to the CAVC by the secretary, and the CAVC court agreed, and the VA secretary appealed to the federal circuit, and the federal circuit also, everybody's telling the VA you're screwing this up, and that as far as the caregiver stipend at least goes, if I'm reading this decision correctly, when it comes to, you know, like basic eligibility and the caregiver stipend and all of that, that yes, these cases are appealable to the Board of Veterans Appeals and with all due process. And, you know, they're not going to decide, well, you don't need this type of therapy. They're not going to wade into that issue, the health care issues, but they are going to say you're entitled to benefits. That's my thought on it. I hope that matches what you guys are seeing.
Well, I'll tell you what I think about this whole thing is Wounded Warriors Project drove this thing through in 2010 all by themselves. That pissed me off because it turned us into two different groups of veterans, pre-1911 and post-9/11, excuse me.
Yeah, that's true.
And so some pigs were more equal than other pigs all of a sudden. So it was
right.
Just inevitable that Congress is going to right that wrong eventually. And they've let Vietnam in and World War II and Korea, but they still, to my knowledge, still haven't phased in the Afghani crew. They're in already, or the peacetime group in between 1975 and 1991 are still out in the cold on this one, from what I understand. But how many of them would actually have TBI? there's a really small subset of a small subset of people that fell off the back of a deuce and a half when they popped the clutch and started rolling. I know they're out there, but I also see something that dramatic in this, and that is that when they opened up the floodgates and let all the Vietnam guys and everybody else through the door, it immediately, almost overnight, became impossible to get a brand new claim through unless you were 7 out of 7 on all the little boxes checked off on the CEAT exam that, you know, when they came out to the house with the caregiver and so on. And that, it effectively destroyed the program. There's not enough money to fund it, so everybody's told, don't grant it, you know, find something, anything to keep fence them out of it. And that's all I've seen. And this business, it's almost contrived stupidity for a VHA administrator to deny something and not even have a template sent over from the VBA that says, okay, you're going to deny this, Bob, this old boy. Here's the game plan, A, B, C, D. Don't forget to do that. Don't forget to put the favorable findings of fact in there.
Yeah, well, the caregiver decisions don't even show up in VBMS. The VHA.
No, they don't. Well, neither does VR&E. They just haven't got into supporting it yet. They had a hard enough time getting VBA into it, which is why it always crashes all the time or seizes up.
If someone comes to me and says, "Hey, I was denied for a caregiver stipend, and I think I need it because my husband is, you know, all messed up and I'm having to be a full-time caregiver for the guy." I'm like, "Well, yeah, that sounds like you should have gotten it. Let me take a look." Oh, wait, there's nothing in the VA, in the VBMS to tell me exactly why this was turned down. You know, all I get is their little form letter. So that's a problem.
Well, welcome to the club. If all you're doing is SMC, L through O and R1, R2, and T, I keep filing these things and they come back 7 days later, even with a brand new shiny IMO from Mednick. It says, your rate of SMC is confirmed and continued at the current rate. It doesn't say you've been denied for this because of this. There's no explanation, no reasons and bases, not even. It's almost like cleaner than a Cogburn implicit denial.
It's time for the Exposed Vet Radio Show.
Well, that's good. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it's hell's bells, Robin. I'm just taking these things up to the board and getting them rubber stamped. Every last one of them is advanced on the docket with the seizures, epilepsy, major TBI. He just got out of veterans court for the third time after he clocked that cop when he got pulled over for reckless driving. He's graduated from veterans court 3 times. He doesn't have any problem with his anger. It's good to go. But
yeah.
He does have 100% TBI.
He's a caregiver to keep him out of trouble.
What's that? Say again?
He doesn't need a caregiver to keep him out of trouble and protect him from himself and the hazards of daily life?
No,
not a bit.
Hell no. I mean, moderate, maybe, you know, but not severe. But you know what? I got to tell you this. I think it's safe to explain it here among us. I've been for a long time, I've been fighting them when they combine the TBI and the PTSD together on my TBI guys. And say, oh, it's just too speculative to get it sorted out. We don't know how to do it. So we're just going to throw it all in one big basket and call it 100%. So you apply for TBI. They go, well, yeah, but most of his symptoms are due to PTSD, as near as we can tell. I say, au contraire, ma chère. You said that it was too speculative to figure it out. That's why you put it all in one friggin' basket. So the benefit of the doubt says it's more likely than less likely that it's the TBI just as much as it's the PTSD.
Yep.
The benefit of the doubt goes to the veteran.
That's a good
argument. Goddamn, I made two of them choke on that in 2 weeks in a row on January, I think it was 4th, and again on the 12th, I think, for HLR informal conferences. And 28 minutes later on both of them, I had SMCT for those guys. I'm waiting for them to change the rules and quit combining them now. But it's an interesting argument. Anytime you see them throw a roadblock in front of you, you just figure out how to go around it or how to blow it up. That's the way I look at it. Napalm, cluster bomb units, what does it take? 500 pounders.
Well, speaking of cluster bombs, I had one of my guys that VA refused to give me a decision on individual unemployability, which was raised and at least implicitly denied. And the underlying evaluations were on appeal and were going up to BVA. And they canceled my BVA hearing on it on Friday when the hearing was on Monday. And the guy from BVA said, you know what, we really want to take this. Can you get the regional office to issue you a decision? And so I asked the regional, I filed another appeal and said, okay, do this. And then they didn't do anything. And I sent the director's office an email, and they still didn't do anything. So then I started filing higher-level reviews every day for a solid week until they established it. And I included a 4138 saying, I'm going to keep this up until you guys establish this. Well, they finally today, they took out all the duplicates, and they established it back from when, and they're going to give me the decision and the appeal rights, or they better, so that then I can, they're either going to give it to me or they're going to give me my appeal rights so I can get in front of the BVA judge. So sometimes you have to, you know, and I don't like doing that, but I totally will.
Well, so you know, you my bomb, my bomb every last time, Robin, is dennis.mcdonough@va.gov. Dear Secretary.
Well, I'm not quite willing to go that far yet.
Oh shit! I've had Diane Robert call me up and say, "What are you doing? Stop it!" I said, "Well, I'm sorry, you know. Any port in a storm, the man's dying." She says, "Well, that's no excuse." I said, "Well, I'm sorry, you know. I belong to NOVA, but you know, you're not my boss."
Yeah, Diane doesn't have – Diane's skin is not thick enough because she doesn't like my, you know, profanity-laced legal memos. But I don't care.
Robin, I don't see us giving a presentation with the PowerPoint up there on the stage with Zach Stoltz anytime soon. I'm persona non grata too, you know.
Well, I'm waiting to be an example during an ethics session. Truth be told, you know, I'll serve as a horrible warning probably.
Well, if you go on the NOVA site and look at the members, you look at a picture of me. That's what I want everybody to think of me as, holding that little Swedish K submachine gun between my legs.
Yeah, so you talked to Alex. You started out talking about a class action lawsuit. For the information which I've received, basically I was looking in reading my judge's decision again, and it seems like that he is saying there is actually thousands of these type of cases that he mentioned in there. What would one do to get a class action lawsuit started?
Well, what you do is you find out who brought this. Hold on a second here. Let me go on here.
There's actually a website, Baudette Class Action, or something like that.
Probably is. Yeah. Here, let me see here. Gene Groves runs things called Veterans Claims Blog .wordpress.com. He, every time something comes out, get on his shopping list. Every time something comes out, it pops up in my feed. And so I started representing him. He's a Vietnam vet with real bad Parkinson's. He lives out in the desert off the grid. He's 100% for PTSD for a reason. But he puts these things up every time they come up. So if you want to get on the news feed, his website's a great one to tap into. But it's talking about this as... Igor Victor Timofeyev, Paul Hastings, LLP, Washington, D.C., argued for claimants of appellees. When you see that plurals there on the header on this Federal Circuit thing, you know they're the head guys in charge of this class action suit for sure. It also says Renee Burbank, Bart Stickman's on it from NVLSP, Michael Fisher, Miller Barondas, LLP, LA. I would suspect he was the guy's original attorney, if anybody asked me about it, because Paul Hastings, LLP, up in D.C., they do all these Federal Circuit things. They love to glom onto these poor veterans like us and drag us up to the Federal Circuit and pay all of our freight for us and do all our work. But it shouldn't be too hard to dig through and find it. But the long and the short of it is if you have ever, when Jeremy Baudet and Maya Baudet, when they first went to the Court of Veterans Appeals, they probably approached us, you'd have to go back in there and Google that in CAVC's website, and you'd find out who their attorney was that filed that, and he'd be a member of the bar for the CAVC. So get in touch with that old boy, and chances are he's the one that's running the class action suit, because he filed it as a class action suit to begin with. Although he just mentioned Jeremy Baudet being the veteran who's on whose benefit it was drawn, and his wife Maya Baudet, who was the caregiver or was trying to be the caregiver, and Baudet's, I think he's a Vietnam vet if I remember correctly. I'd have to.
Go to vacaregiverclassaction.com. VACaregiverClassAction.com. There is the Baudet class is represented by the Attorneys of Public Counsel, NVLSP, and Paul Hastings, LLP. You can make contact the class counsel through their claims administrator, blah, 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 blah. So that sounds like it's Paul Hastings and company.
This is interesting, too, because I think this is a first class action suit that's gotten a bite or made the grade at the Court of Veterans Appeals, because they initially said they couldn't do it with a single judge decision. That went up to the Federal Circuit, and Federal Circuit said, who told you you can't have a class action suit there? Show me where it says that. And so they kind of got it rammed down their throat whether they wanted to do it or not. I don't know if it was the Baudet case, but it might have been one right before that. The court's coming down with some pretty good decisions. It used to be that we felt, and a lot of us who were doing this from the 80s, 90s, 2000s, kind of looked at the court as being a little limp-wristed, kind of a Casper milquetoast. They didn't want to fight the secretary. They didn't.
Chevron deference.
They didn't. Yeah, they just didn't. It just didn't cave in to the secretary. The first time that actually happened, there was a couple of different ones where Derwinski put his foot down. He says, you can't hear extraordinary writs of mandamus. You're not allowed to do that. And Beverly Niemer, I think, was if it wasn't Niemer, it was Gordon Espemmer. His wife and him, they slammed him with the first extraordinary writs, and the secretary fought him, just like he did on this Baudet thing. What in the Sam Hill did he have to gain by circling the wagons around the VA over Baudet? Why didn't he just say, hey, choose your battles, guys. You don't want to be a George Custer on that hill. Jesse Brown did a couple of these stupid, maneuvers where he went up the Federal Circuit. And of course, when that you get up to the Supreme Court or something, and the names change. And then it becomes Derwinski versus Jones. But I don't understand why they chose to fight this one. And I don't see why they chose to fight Haskell that's up there that Amy Odom just wrote up, where they artificially limit you to 30% for a Parkinson's rating when you under 8004. I mean, why? How do you get to 100? You got 1,000 of those little things where you're drooling, one side of your face sags, nobody can hear you, and all they're all 10%ers. It's like Mardi Gras beads on Fat Tuesday night. It takes 22 10%ers to get to 100. You'll be losing them faster than you're collecting them.
Mm-hmm.
I've watched the VA for the last 35 or more years, and it just disgusts me. You got to sneak up on them. You got to build punji traps with punji pits. You got to let – that's half my business now, is to lead them down that road and get them into a horseshoe ambush they can't get out of, and catch them with their pants down on the SMC. Well, you gave them 100% for the PTSD or the major depressive disorder. Now he needs aid and attendance for it. Well, wait, yep. No, he doesn't. You got to sneak up on them. They're getting slick. They're getting a little devious.
Yeah.
But Beaudette, this is just insanity. They're trying to put their foot down on this, and I've seen this same thing on this caregiver thing as I've seen on SMC. They will deny it religiously, the heavier stuff, SMC T's, L's, O, M, N, all that stuff. They'll deny that stuff forever and ever, and they'll give you an S, a handful of K's, but they won't give you the jump into L or worse, two aid and attendances. You got to go up to the board to get them. But more appropriately, is these guys know that the man with TBI at 70 or 100% commingled with PTSD, they're starting to learn that these guys are going to go for SMCL and then get the jump up to SMCT. And they know they'll get it at the board. They do everything in their power to prevent you from getting the L to begin with. I got one guy, I just wrote his blog, his brief the last couple of days. He had like 4 instances of TBI, and all documented. They even took him to Portsmouth Naval Air Station down there in Virginia and kept him as an inpatient and retrained him on how to count from 1 to 10. And fix up his TBI. It was that bad. And he's in that kind of shape. And I finally got him his SMCL. But, of course, I immediately couldn't get the T. They wouldn't even talk about it. He's, you know, there are people that need it. And they'll never give it to you.
If you need, all right, so anybody that's listening that doesn't know what SMCT is, SMCT is it's a special monthly compensation that is specific for TBI. That's what the T stands for. And if you need aid and attendance because you are so cognitively screwed up by the TBI, and it may not be just cognitively, it may be also include motor functions, but if your cognition and or motor functions are so jacked up from this TBI that you were in that you need aid and attendance, that, which ordinarily, like, if you needed aid and attendance for PTSD without any kind of TBI, you would just get the SMCL. You would just get the aid and attendance. But if it's because of a TBI, now you can be paid at the, is it the R1 or the R2 rate?
It's a R2 rate. That's what T is. $10,905 a month. It's almost $11,000 or $133,000 a year.
Now, you've got to be pretty messed up, right? You do not want to be in need of SMCT. But
no,
by golly, if you need SMCT, if you need aid and attendance because you are that messed up, then you're desperately going to need $10,000 a month.
Yes, you are, because you're going to need visiting angels on speed dial.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes wife or the caregiver, she gets kind of rubbed the wrong way. I mean, when the guy takes a pool cue and tries to clobber her with it, he gets mad because his lunch is cold. They can't control that anger thing. Their whole judgment syndrome inside that neurocognitive disease, they go apeshit. They don't have any control over their emotions anymore. And as long as you got them pretty tranked out on Valium, some of those other things like that, Thorazine, you don't take them out into public, because unless you got a choke collar on them or have them heavily medicated, it's not their problem. But I'll tell you what, they all seem to find out who I am and come to knock on my door, and I got to take them all up to the board, almost every last one of them. It's really sad. Mm-hmm. And, of course, when you do win it, you can imagine what the retro checks look like. They're all in the 80-220 zone. But that's not why I do it. I married a rich girl. I'm fortunate. She took me up to first class in an airplane one time, man, and I've never been back. Jesus, no. That's called cattle car. But I'll tell you what. So the secretary is doing everything in his power to keep anything and everything about SMC and this PCAFC stuff out. I think that's why he went up the federal circuit. Is he honestly thought he could pull the wool over those old boys' eyes up there? And it was a single judge decision. It wasn't a panel decision either. He just said, no, you need to go back and reread how that's done, Bubba. It was, who's the one that heard this thing here? Oh, no, it was. It was
at the ABC.
Yeah, but they did have a three judge. It is precedence, and that's good, because, you know, in my lifetime, I think I've seen two extraordinary writs granted, and this is one of them right here. And it just doesn't happen. That guy I represent, Gene Groves down in Texas, he mailed a bunch of stuff. He's a hell of a litigator, and he mailed a bunch of stuff to the BVA, and it never showed up in the VBMS, in the claims file, or anywhere. And it should have been in VACALS, and it wasn't. And they couldn't figure it out. And then finally somebody goes, oh, look at this. Who would have thunk it? There's a back door to VACALS. You can go in and pull stuff out. And everybody had said the thing was bulletproof. It was like a bank safe. Everything that went in there and couldn't be touched. And it turned out that it wasn't. It didn't work that way. Gene Groves won that pro se. Man, that guy's bad to the bone. He's a real nice guy. He went to nurse's school, and when he got back from Vietnam, he was going to become a RN and go to work for VA, and his brain snapped. He just couldn't do it. So he went off into the desert, got his hunter for PTSD, and he's just had nothing but trouble ever since. But nice guy. But this thing with Baudet, it's going to be an albatross around VA's neck. Congress bought into the PCAFC program and got it into VA and kind of saddled them with it. And they went, oh, well, yeah, okay, it's just like everything. Remember when they came out with that community care program? Just get a little chit from VA down at the VAMC, and you go see your own dentist. Or if they can't see you within 25 days, you can go see your private doctor in the community. That dried up. That dried up like a dry leg bed instantly. Mm-hmm. Within a year or two, that's gone. You can't go to your own dentist anymore. Even if you do, your dentist doesn't get paid for 3 years, and they come knocking on your door.
Yeah, I mean, the doctors aren't getting paid, you know, and look, none of us work for free, you know. Those doctors, they need to be paid, and the government's not honoring the deal.
So VA, the VA in the form of the VHA, was tasked with reducing their overhead. So they said, well, we'll quit granting these PCAFCs. I don't give a goddamn if the guy's slobbering in a wheelchair. He looks like Stephen Hawking. That guy is not going to get PCAFC these days. Not without a good fight, and if everything is blowing the right way, and they get the decision denied properly at the VHA, and you take it up to the board's going to grant it, and it's just going to boomerang right back down again, and they're going to be forced, and you'll start the fight at tier one, and 10 years later, you'll get tier two. They'll put off, they're like Wimpy from that Popeye, the sailor man, you know, old Wimpy says, I'd gladly pay you next Thursday for that PKFC for some PKFC today. That's what I think of what's going on here. VA just constantly spending more and more and more money. They're taking more money out of the economy on their allotments out of the government than any other bureau, any other agency. And, you know, Robin, you get Outlook, you get that news feed on the emails and everything. My God, they got more people in charge of more crazy-ass offices, office of how to write a resume and an office of so-and-so, and all these women and men, they're all about 30, 28, 32 years old, 38, 40, and they're all getting paid $140,000 a year to sit behind the desk and look pretty. But they ain't helping a single veteran.
And have you heard about the whole travel, the travel pay situation?
Well, I remember you used to go stand in a line at the VAMC after your appointment, and they'd give me my $26 back in 2008.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, now you have to, for a little while, now you've got to apply online or through an app, and that system is buggy as hell. And so there are so many people that have not been paid or the system was down and they weren't able to put in their travel pay within the 30 days from the date of service.
They made a 30-day submission suspension date, so if you didn't get it in, you couldn't get it in, but if you didn't get it in within 30 days, it expired.
Are you on my Facebook page, not my personal page, but my law office's Robin Hood accredited attorney? Are you on my Facebook group?
I don't really do Facebook. You know, I publish all my stuff and your stuff that comes on when you do me.
That would
it automatically goes on to Facebook. That's the way I set it up.
I need to make an ask nod post. I have been meaning to do one lately, and I think posting the travel pay situation would probably be would make a nice little ask nod, you know, contribution. So I'll take care of that tonight.
Actually, that's a Robin Hood post, not an ask nod post. You get equal billing at my place. But I'm really impressed with my readership. I started that in 2008, and finally I wrote a book in 2012. But I was so impressed with the fact that I studied every last decision from 89 at the CABC all the way through until about 2000, trying to figure out how to win my claim for hepatitis C. And all of a sudden I was sitting there, I can't remember which one I was reading, but I think it was Kaluza versus Brown, 95 or 94 maybe. It's where they made that reference to the Golden Triangle or the Hicks and Shedden elements. So you needed those three items to win. And I went, wow, it's like the Rosetta Stone. So I ran down and saw my doctor because I was dying of Hep C, literally. And I got in there and I said, hey, man, can you write me a Nexus letter? He goes, oh, shit, yeah, no problem. Your hepatitis is so strange. It could only have come from the Indo-Chinese Peninsula, like Vietnam, Laos, Thailand, or Cambodia. It's a really unique genotype. I went, great. They wrote that thing, and QTC looked at that thing like Rubik's Cube for 6 months trying to figure out how to deny it. But anyway, that's why I wrote the book and started publishing that. And up to that point, any veteran I ever talked to, I says, well, you got to have those three ingredients. And they went, well, wow, how come nobody told us? Man, that's been the best kept secret since the War of 1812. VA's not going to advertise how to give you money. They're not going to make it easy for you. And everything I've seen since then has been the same thing. You've got to figure out how this poker game works and then get a mirror in there behind the dealer so you can see what's going on. That's what gave us BBMS. That mirror that we get to see what they're up to ahead of time.
Yep. You get to see those exam requests and, like, what are they saying in this exam request? Or read those BBMS notes, and see what they're
You can see that by their leading questions to the examiner.
Yep.
Well, the other thing is they got a list of evidence they're supposed to look at instead of the whole claims file. Now, they've narrowed it down a little bit. So you send it something to that raider, you search him down, get his name, rank, airspeed, send him an email that says, hey, you forgot my IMO from Dr. Lee from Mednick. Oh, I guess we should put that in there, huh? Yeah, I think so.
Who will kiss the donkey?
Well, that's how they deny. They don't put all the evidence in there, and you don't.
The
only way you can spot it is that rating decision. You got to go over that evidence, one item by line item.
Well, you know, if you put in a positive Nexus opinion already, well, then, you know, they shouldn't be getting another exam, because we call that developing to deny. There have been so many times that, a veteran goes for an exam, he gets a negative medical opinion, he hires me, I get a positive medical opinion, and that's supposed to be it. What they're supposed to do is weigh those two medical opinions, weigh the one I got him and the one the VA got, and decide which one they like better. But oh no, 9 times out of 10, they will just order a new exam.
I've had them go after 3 after I put in a positive one, get 2 more from 2 different psychologists and a neurologist both.
Alex, we got a developing to deny.
We got a guy on here that we talked earlier in the week, and he's got a question he wants to ask you guys. If you can, you guys got time to hear him?
Oh, sure,
absolutely.
Hey, Ron, you on, buddy?
Good evening. Yes, sir. Hey. Can you hear me? Okay.
You got the floor, man. Yeah, I hear you. Go ahead.
Well, I just. Couple questions related to SMC. Already emailed Alex earlier in the week, so he kind of knows where I'm going to go with this. But I was reading a board decision on a veteran trying to get his second aid in attendance. His first aid in attendance was through PTSD. So then he tried to get a second aid in attendance with Meniere's at 100%. And it went up to the board, and the board denied him. So that got me to thinking, can a veteran get that second? What's that?
I said, I think that's correct. But you emailed Alex, so let's see what Alex says first.
Okay.
Well, I sent him a link to Mr. Potato Head, SMC, what is it, on my website. And on that blog site, of that article, if you scroll down a little bit down there to SMCL, you'll see 14 decisions that involve 2 aid and attendances that the board granted. There's 14 links to 14 Board of Veterans Appeals decisions. Each one of them deals with having 2 aid and attendances or combinations of aid and attendance and loss of use of the lower extremities, or aid and attendance and blindness. But the fact of the matter is, it hinges on the idea that you need 2 SMCLs, M's, or N's. You need an L and an L, or an L and an M, or an L and an N, or 2 M's, or whatever it is, 2 items between L and N in order to get to SMCO, and they call that the maximum rate, but it isn't, because we know R1, R2T is what I call the maximum rate, but the VA doesn't. This is a game of smoke and mirrors. They don't want you to know anything about SMC, and they make it so dang confusing that they make a reference to a term, the maximum rate, and everybody's thinking R2. Oh, hell no, that's SMCO. And then somebody else will say, well, then how much do you get paid if you're on P? Well, P is about 14, 20 different ratings. It could be, it's P. P is a combination. Anytime you have a SMCK, if you had aid in attendance for SMCL and you also had K for loss of use of Winky down there, that would be SMCP because it wouldn't be a straight SMCL. It would have something attached to it like a K. And you can have three Ks. But if you get more than three Ks, you go jump up to SMCM, and you can't be at SMCM because that would be pyramiding because you haven't been advanced from L to M by regulation. You just got there by adding things together like having 60% or 10% ratings to get to your SMCS. There's a limit to everything somewhere, whether you can find it written or not. I found most of them. I run into some new ones every day. But getting two SMC aid in attendance, it's an art form. You get one. Let's just say you got one for all your symptoms of Parkinson's. But when they did that, they neglect to mention that you have a little major depressive disorder about having the Parkinson's. Let's just say they forgot about that. So you file separately and you say, I have major depressive disorder relating to Parkinson's at this point. And they say, yeah, you sure do. Here's 100%. But that's not pyramiding to get that because it's your brain is separate, distinct from your neurological functions associated with Parkinson's. Two different items in your body. So that's when you file for aid in attendance for your PTSD. And VA immediately says, no, you're already getting remunerated for that because you have an aid in attendance for your Parkinson's. They can't
push
two aid in attendance.
What they're doing is instead, so special monthly compensation replaces the 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100%. Well, except for K, because K is a kicker. It replaces the 100%, and so you get this new different rate, whatever the SMCS or whatever the SMCL is. And, you know, you're not going to get two separate aid and attendances, meaning you're not going to get SMCL and then get the same amount of money for aid. You're not going to get the SMCL amount of money twice. That's not what they're talking about. But what you can get is you can get SMCL because you have this list of conditions, and then you can get another SMCL because you have a separate list of conditions.
Separate from the first L. Right.
Yeah, exactly. And then when you look at SMC, you say, well, two L's make an M, and then you throw in another something or other, and you say an M and a something else is an M and a half, or you know, it goes up a step, and I forget what all of these combinations are, but you mentioned before an L and an L and L and an M. Those things start adding up, and you wind up with a higher SMC level. And it's not that you're not asking for baseline two SMCLs. What you're asking for is all of these service-connected conditions at all of these different evaluations, loss of use, you know, loss of use of the legs because I can't walk anymore because I'm Parkinson's. You know, that's an SMC of some sort. I forget which one it is. But you start adding those together, and those qualify you for some of the alphabet soup of SMCs. And you start adding those letters together at that point to get your final SMC letter. That's the easiest way I can describe it. I hope that if whoever that veteran was that was asking for their second SMC, you know, maybe they just did not have the underlying conditions that would have gotten them, you know, the SMC. Because obviously you only need aid and attendance once, but if you've got separate and distinct conditions, either one of which that would qualify you for aid and attendance, both are at 100%. Both would cause you to need aid and attendance. Well, then you really should be getting, you know, something more than just SMCL. You should be getting some higher level. Basically, two L's equal whatever it is the two L's equal out to, right? Whether it's an M or a P or a or whatever.
Well, I'll tell you something. If the way they describe it, and Brenneser versus Shinseki condensed a lot of it down, and it said SMC is for quality of life issues above and beyond 100%. You can get to 100% with a wide variety of different things from bad
and be a functional person. You could be a sitting senator with 100%. No problem.
Right. Look at me. I got two 100% ratings, a whole bunch, a handful of other stuff that adds up to 90. So I still managed to get around pretty good. But 20 years ago, I wasn't like that. 20 years ago, they were measuring me for a box. And I managed to beat that. But here's the thing that most people can't comprehend, and took me a long time, and Robert Chisholm had to beat me over the head a couple of times to get me aimed in the right direction on it. You can have aid in attendance, let's just say for Parkinson's, and forget to take your medications and get SMCL. Just use that as one example. Your memory is so poor, you can't remember to take your pills, and it might kill you that you don't take the Parkinson pills, Cinnamet, and all that shit. Now, you can have a major depressive disorder due to PTSD from Vietnam, which is separate and totally distinct from Parkinson's, and is not the same condition, and get 100% rating for that, and go in and apply for aid and attendance for the PTSD with the excuse that you don't remember to take your medications for your PTSD. That's not pyramiding in SMC. It's the only system in the whole VA system that where you can pyramid and you don't get dunned for it, if you can believe that. If you had trouble bathing because you had COPD and you had trouble bathing because you had ischemic heart disease at 100%, you'd had about two or three heart attacks and you were a little bit feeble in the mind from the last stroke and somebody had to bathe you, that's still not pyramiding, even though you need somebody to help you bathe for two separate distinct disabilities. It's the craziest game in town. That's why it's so difficult. That's why hardly anybody knows how to do it. It's a bitch to learn.
Hey, let me interrupt, guys.
People right now.
Those of you that aren't familiar, James Cripps is in the VA hospital in Nashville now. He's had a little problem with his heart. I talked with him this afternoon. He said he'd be listening in, but he didn't want. He was kind of weak. Didn't want to say anything. So James, just wanted to let you know that we're thinking about you, and everybody keeping him in his mind. He's got chronic heart failure, and he's holding water pretty bad. But hopefully they'll get everything straightened out, and he'll be out of there in a week or two.
Wow.
I just wanted to throw that in.
Well, anyway, in a post-game wrap, I think Beaudet's just one more bitch slap for Dennis the Menace, personally. And I don't doubt that he will take that Haskell decision where he starts to ram that Parkinson's rating down his throat, then he'll take that up the Federal Circuit and object to it. We wouldn't put it past him. I don't see where there's any money trying to exert Chevron deference for the agency to try to ram that kind of stuff down our throat, because they're supposed to be non-adversarial, veteran-friendly. This is supposed to be an ex parte program. How does that adversarial nature of fighting to give us less, how does that comport with for he who shall have borne the battle? It seems like a non sequitur there somewhere.
Yeah, they are acting like an insurance company sometimes.
They are. That's it. Send it out to Mako, $99.95, Bondo and an overspray. You're not a total loss there, son. We're not going to give you P&T or SMCT. I can see why I have so much problems, but cutting a piece of paper, you got to get about 8 signatures all the way up to the Veteran Service Center manager when they do an SMCT. I can see the, all the signatures involved in it. But it's still adversarial to offer something and then have a catch-22 attached to it. Like, oh, what? The reason we can't give you SMCT is you weren't born on Thursday. Oh, you were? AM or PM?
Yeah.
Well, it's,
so one more question.
Go ahead.
The bumps from like L to L and a half to M, M and a half, you still get just one bump. Is that correct? You can't go from, say they give you a bump to M, and you have another 100%. They won't bump you again. Is that correct?
That's true. You could have L and you have 50% or more rating of for something that's separate and distinct to give you a bump up to L and a half. If you had a whole 100% rating and didn't have anything to do with why you had SMC, L would give you a kicker from L to M. But you'll never get another half on top of your M. I've tried it and they won't do it for me. They say they can't. The M21 prevents it. I know, I think it was Ken Carpenter or Chisholm took it up to the Fed Circuit. I don't know if that's been heard up there yet or whether it was rejected at the Federal Circuit level. I'm not familiar with it. I read the actual phraseology in F3, and it's pretty clear that it sounds like you could have more than one single half bump. But if you're going to let more than one half bump in, where do you stop? If you had 450% ratings, you just bump from L to L and a half to M to M and a half to N. You see that there's going to be a problem with that, and you can't give away all your money. So hard to say. I've tried to fight it, and I gave up. I didn't, push it. But I got a blind guy, and I was trying to pump it up. You get a bump from L to M if you need aid in attendance for being blind. And I got another bump from M to N saying, yeah, but he's got MDD and he needs aid in attendance for his major depressive disorder. So that takes him to N. And he also, Winky doesn't work, so it's N plus K.
And the loss of use of bowel and bladder is also another kicker, criteria.
Yeah, but eventually they built it. I mean, this is a brick shit house. You cannot get to N and a half plus K unless you have some legs sawed off at the trunk of your body. It's that.
There you go. Guys, we got a minute left. Alex, you guys give us your contact information. So when these listeners, if they need a good federal appeals agent or actual attorney, give me information up there so these people can reach out and touch you.
Well, go on and get on your computer and go onto your search bar and type in asknod.com and you'll find me. It's pretty easy. I'm more interested in having everybody find Robin. I don't want anybody to find me right now. I've got too much work.
I'm easy to find. I think if you just Google Robin Hood Veterans Lawyer, one of my sites will pop up, whether it's my law firm bio or whether it's my Facebook site.
Okay. Well, guys, thanks for coming on. We'll do this again soon because you guys have a lot of good information. And that's a good time. I call you the A-team for a reason. So, you're an A-lister on this show. So, I don't want to tell you this, but I don't want your heads to get so big you can't fit in the door, okay?
Well, we want you to have high numbers for your show. Then you can hire all them people and give advertisements and get paid to run your website. We enjoy helping veterans. That's what I live for.
I'm not in it for the money, guys. I'm just in it to help vets out. So, I don't really care about that. So that's why I do it. Been in it for years. Don't charge a dime.
Andrew, see you in D.C.
I'll see everybody in D.C. if they come there.
All right. Well, just if you guys get in trouble, send me a note, and I'll try to tell them where to send the bail money.
Good show. Enjoy it.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Okay. Thanks a lot, right. John.
Thank you, Alex. Ray, thank you for coming on. James, listen, buddy, get better and get out of there and go home. This will be John signing off. We'll see you next week.
You have been listening to the Exposed Bet Podcast. Any opinions expressed on the show are the opinions of the guest speakers and not necessarily the opinions of Exposed Bet, ExposedBet.com, or Blog Talk Radio. Tune in next week for another episode of the Exposed Bet Podcast. Thanks for listening.